You're listening to WWBC Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
You are tuned into New Beginnings in Christ Ministries, where the pastor is Ralph Williams. And now here with today's
Father, indeed, we thank you for your amazing grace. We thank you for touching us and blessing us, for keeping us throughout the night, Father God, even the blood flowing through our bodies. And though we had no control over that, but you ministered to us and blessed us in a mighty and a special way. We thank you for that. We thank you for last night's lying down and for this morning's rising up. And Father God, with a roof over our heads and Father, even food in our belly, Lord, you supplied all that. And we thank you for that. Father, we thank you for the guys who have willingly come out this morning. And as we look into your book of truth, we pray that you'll help us to see some things that perhaps we had not seen before. I pray, Father, that you will hide me behind your cross. And Lord, allow what I say to be words that you have had me to study for this group. As we pray in Jesus' name and for his namesake. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Guys, still had a prayer list up here. Any prayer concerns for you or anybody else, please, before you leave, make sure you put the name down. We're back in our study in the book of Ephesians, which I already said. And by way of review, we're going to start in chapter 2. And I begin my reading at verse 10. Chapter 2, verse 10. When you're with me, please say amen.
Amen.
And Paul writes here, and we saw this last week as well, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. And Paul was talking about how we are, how we ought to be, how we ought to be living, and that God called this shot long before this world was here and knew he would meet you from eternity in time and bless you with this precious salvation. In verse 11, he says, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. And again, the Jews were looking down on the Gentiles and were kind of casting them out a little bit, really didn't want to be, had no bother with them. But God didn't care about that because he loved us anyhow and blessed us into his fold. Verse 12 says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers, it says, from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. And that's a perfect picture, guys, of those that are in the world right now. They're trying to work it out. They're trying to fix themselves. They're trying to have hope in what they have. But what they don't realize is that everything that they have, it comes from God anyhow. So from that perspective, because they don't know him, they really have no hope. He says in verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. In verse 14, it says, for he is our peace. And guys, I want to ask a question. What things did we do prior to Christ to try to bring us peace? What did we do? I know for me, because I was always anxious, always trying to run around and didn't really know what I wanted to do. For me, it was drugs and alcohol. And I would think that that would bring me peace. And look, it made me feel good for that night. But when I woke up, guess what was there? My life was still there. Right. How about any of y'all guys? What did you do to bring your peace?
Same things. Happy hour.
And listen, with some, it was women. You figured you lay with them that night, and you felt like you were having a little peace. But in the morning, all that mess that you was trying to escape was still there. And therein lies the problem with a lot of folk, man. You start off with trying to do something to make you feel better or even to bring you peace. And in reality, it just digs you deeper and deeper into whatever you are. And so it takes more and more of whatever you're doing to try to achieve that peace. And before you know it, you're addicted. Before you know it, you can't do without it. And before you know it, it ain't bringing you peace no more. It's just helping you feel somewhat normal. But what we have in Christ, man, that's real. And it's peace regardless of the circumstance, regardless of what you're going through. And look, you still hurt. You still sometimes remember some of the issues of your life. But man, with God in your life, with Christ in your life, who's the Prince of Peace, that even when everything is falling apart, you can still have His peace, and He can still usher in His joy. Amen. Verse 14 says, "For He is our peace, who have made both one, and have broken down the middle wall of partition between us, and between, first of all, the saved and the unsaved, the Jew and the Gentiles." And Christ has done that. It says, having abolished, look, in His flesh, the enmity, and I love that word, it simply means the hostility, and we were hostile toward God prior to salvation, just like the world is hostile toward Him even right now. It says, even the law of the commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain, in other words, of two, one new man, so making peace. And by the way, that one new man is called the church, correct? That's a church. You guys woke up, man?
Yes.
Amen. I hear you. Verse 16. And that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross. It says, having slain the enmity thereby. And again, that hostility, Christ, he quenched it with His death and His burial and His resurrection. It says, and came and preached peace to you, which were far off. And He's talking about the Gentiles, and to them which were nigh, and even the Jews. Look, they still got to go through Jesus Christ to get to God. No more trying to keep the law. We got to know Christ for ourselves in order for us to have a true relationship with God. In verse 18, it says, for through Him we both, and he's talking about Jew and Gentile, have access by one Spirit unto the Father. And again, Jew and Gentile alike. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And listen, as God's children, what we realize or should realize is that, guys, the stuff that we see around here, even this world, even the ground we walk on, this is not really our home. But sometimes we pitch our tents here like we're going to be here forever, right? All of y'all remember when you was about 15, 16 years old, and it seemed like you were going to be that forever. Seemed like you wasn't going to ever grow old. And you probably was mocking some of the old folks. Look at that old dude. Look at that old woman still trying to make it. And now as we creep up into that oldness, we realize that we who are young are one day going to be old as well. And sometimes as we're trying to put our lives together, figure out what it is we're trying to do, we look back and we realize that we might not have as much time going forward as we've already passed. Because the clock's ticking, a whole lot of things have been going on, and here we are in the midst of our lives trying to figure out just what it is that God would have us to do. Amen?
Amen.
He says in verse 21, verse 20. In fact, verse 19, he says, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon, this is the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself, it says, being the chief corner. And guys, even in a secular or metal build or rock building, you got to have one chief cornerstone, because if you don't have a chief cornerstone, man, that whole thing is going to come tumbling down. And for the believer, man, for the church, Christ is that cornerstone. And I get it, in different various denominations and churches, and we got these bylaws and this bylaws, but I got to tell you, if Christ is not at the center of what you're doing, it's not going to stand, and it is going to crumble. And look, that's for a local body, church, and that's also for your body. If Christ is not at the center of everything that you're doing, it's not going to work. And you guys are here, and I would suspect God has you here for a purpose, for a reason. And look, you take a minute and take a breath, and you kind of look around and try to figure out what it is you're going to be doing, and that's okay. Where am I going to work? What do I want to do? What house am I going to have? But man, I realized a long time ago that whatever I need in life, that God knows where it is. When I wanted a wife, I went and chose my own. But guess what? God knows where your wife is. And look, we have a lot of rocky moments for a while because I chose her through the flesh. If you're looking for a job, guess who knows where that job is? The Lord does. If you're looking for a home, a place to live, or peace in your life, or this or that, or a car, whatever it is, God knows where it is, guys. And listen, I'm saying that because it took me a while to learn it. But what I learned is, in order to get what God would have me to get, I need to get closer to Him. I need to learn what He wants and what His precepts are and what He would want me to know of His book. And the closer I get to Him, what He does on the backside, He begins to bless me and give me things that I never even asked for. And I realize afterward that that's exactly what I needed. Closer to Him. Because in reality, man, I know we're living in our own bodies, in our own world. It really is not about us anymore. But it's all about the Lord. I'm going to share a quick story. I'm part of a men's group called Men in Motion over in Melbourne, at Central Baptist Church. And every Tuesday we meet. And for about the last, I say 2 months, it was a guy that's trying to sell a car. And I used to buy and sell a lot of cars. I stopped doing it, man, because the price then got so high with inflation. I guess everything just ramped up. And so every week, this guy was trying to sell this car. And every week he'd come to me because he knew I buy and sell cars, or did. He says, Brother Ralph, I got this car, man. Why don't you buy it? I said, man, I'm not looking for a car. And every week he would say, I still got it, man. I'm trying to sell it. Nobody want to buy it. Why don't you buy it? I said, look, I'm getting ready to go on vacation. I don't really have any money. I said, when I come back, we'll talk. So I came back. He's still in my ear. He's trying to get me to get this car. And then finally I realized that for whatever reason, God wants me to have this car. I didn't know why. I didn't need one. My wife got one. I got one. So I said, look, I'll give you so much a week until I pay this thing off. He said, fine, I'll just hold it. And so I kept paying him. And I owe him one more payment. And I kept asking the Lord. In fact, yesterday I said, Lord, what is it about this car? Why do you want me to have this car? And I'm getting no answer. And I guess about 3 hours later, my boy, in fact, he used to be in here for a while, and I've adopted him kind of as my spiritual son. So he calls me. He said, Pastor Rob, did you see that picture I sent you? I said, no, I didn't see nothing from you. I said, resend it. So he sent it. And he sent me a picture of his car. And this thing was like an accordion, man. He ran into somebody in the back of somebody's car and tore his car. And by the way, I sold him that car. And he tore that car. And he said, man, I don't know what I'm going to do. I need a car. And then it clicked in my head. The Lord knew that D was going to need this car. I didn't need it. Didn't even know what I was going to do with it. I just know the guy kept bugging me to get it, so I got it. And so I'm talking to D, and he said, maybe we can fix it or pull it out. I look at this picture. I said, man, ain't no pulling out this here. That this thing is shot. And I was reluctant to say anything to him about the car that God wanted to give me. Because I don't like to sell anything, really, to somebody that's a friend. So finally, it dawned on me that this car was for D. And I said, man, let me tell you about what just happened. And I just shared with him the story about the car. And he's jumping up and down. Oh, man, I need this car. So he's working, but he got to work. He come by my house. He takes me over to his car. I see it's shot. It really is nothing he can do but scrap it. And he said, well, here's some money for the car. I said, well, wait a minute, you didn't even see the car yet. And he's ready to buy it. I go, he actually gave me money on this thing. But I realized that it's for him. And I share this story only to say that God works out things that we don't even know what He's doing. And in the midst of it, man, we got to see Him through the Holy Spirit that He's actually doing something in your life. It might be somebody he's sending your way, and you don't know why he keeps sending this person your way. Could be a lady that's going to be your wife, and she's always around you or calling you. It could be anything, even a business opportunity. And my point is that God knows what you need and knows where it is. And because of that, we need to get closer to him and stop trying to work in our own steam. And find out what this is or what that is and what I'm going to do here and what I'm going to do there. Instead, how about going to the Lord and saying, Lord, there's something on my heart. I don't even know what it is, but I need you to help me to figure this thing out. Help me to get closer to you so I will know what your will is for my life. Question. This morning, this day, do you know what God's will is for you today? Do you? You kind of think maybe he's leading you a certain way? And sometimes it can be that way as well, and you kind of go there, but if the door closes, you realize, no, not, that's not the way. Something on your heart that you really want to do, a desire he's put on your heart that you really want to do, and look, you don't know how you're going to do it, you just believe somehow he's going to work it out. Man, get closer to him and let him fill in the details and let him use you to show you where and what you need to be doing. Amen. He says in verse 20, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom, he said, ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. And he uses the word habitation, and he's talking about a place where he lives. And guys, his Holy Spirit ought to be living inside your heart. It shouldn't be something you got to pray up and, oh, wow, I'm trying to figure this out. No, he lives with you, and wherever you go, and whether you're doing right or whether you're doing wrong, he's right there as well. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
He says, for this cause, I, Paul, he said, the prisoner of the Lord, prisoner of Jesus Christ, he says, for you Gentiles. And look, we know that Paul was called to be the evangelist to the Gentiles, but I love the fact that, first of all, he's incarcerated, he's in jail, but he's not a prisoner of Rome in his mind. He's a prisoner of the Lord because the Lord has him there. Guess what? Just like the Lord has you here for a reason, for a purpose, and you need to go to him to figure out what that purpose is. Maybe you were out of order. Maybe you were somewhere stuck in some kind of addiction. Maybe you needed a place to live. Whatever it is, I'm telling you, man, it's deeper than that if you belong to him. And you need to get with him to figure out just what he wants of you while you're here. He says in verse 1, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, he says, for you Gentiles, if you have heard, he says, of the dispensation of the grace of God, and he's talking about a specific period that God allowed different various things, he says, which is given me to you, word. In other words, Paul's ministry for this time, this dispensation for the Gentiles, how that by revelation, he says in verse 3, he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore, he says in a few words. In other words, Christ revealed this to them before. And listen, he also talks about this mystery. And guys, a mystery, simply put, especially from the scripture vantage point, is something before that was not known. In the Old Testament, which is Bible as well, but it's concealed in the prophets and the writings, but it's revealed in the New. And he's talking about a mystery, something that before man didn't know, that he's revealed through Paul, and Paul wants them to know it as well. He says in verse 4, whereby, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. In other words, Paul's saying that, look, what God has given me, and he's given me much, I'm giving to you. You can know it as well. And by the way, guys, what I know, you know, or can know, if you dig into his word and see what he has for you in that regard. In verse 5, he says, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. And again, not known in the old covenant, but revealed in the new. And he goes on, and it starts here in verse 6. He said that the Gentiles shall be fellow heirs. In other words, whatever your inheritance is, whatever their inheritance is, that is available to you as well. He said fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. And I love that, man. He's saying that what God has left for you, his inheritance through Christ Jesus, that as a believer, even a Gentile believer, that you have inherited the promises of God. He said he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Do you believe it? He says he will provide for you according, look, to his riches and glory, and his riches are unfathomable, guys. He who made the world, he who reborned you, he who made everything, look, he has a blessing with your name on it, and he simply asks you to be obedient to what he would have you to do. Man, God only knows how he wants to use some of you guys. Not just here, but when you get out of here, to be a beacon of light to some folk that otherwise would not have hope. And you're that hope. And look, you look around this room, you say, man, these guys don't look like they're too hopeful. But if you got Christ in your heart, man, you have more than the world that's against you. And much of what he has given you, much of what you're learning, much of what's in your heart, when you leave here, you're going to take it back maybe to your family, maybe to a workplace, maybe somewhere where you're going to be fellowshipping, maybe to a neighborhood, and it might be things that they have never heard before. But he's put that in you, and he expects you to do what he's called you to do. Simply put, be obedient. He says in verse 7, whereof, he says, I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. And listen, Paul, being one of the heaviest dudes in the New Testament, wrote more books than anybody else. But he's saying that what I have, number one, you can have. And he's also saying, but it's not mine. God gave it to me, that he gifted it to me, that he made me like I am. And what he's saying is that he's got something for you with your name on it as well. He says unto me in verse 8, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles. And look what he says, the unsearchable riches of Christ. And listen, the reason why he says it's unsearchable, man, because apart from God's Spirit, you can't figure out what's in this book. And man can read it from cover to cover. And look, you can get them both. You can get Einstein to read this Bible. But if he don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, all he can do is read it as a book, white ink on a white, black ink on a white page, and walk away and shaking his head. And if you stood before Einstein with the Holy Spirit in you, and you can explain to him what Paul's saying and what God's saying through Paul, because you have what he doesn't have. He has intellect, he has smarts. Hallelujah, he's got worldly wisdom, but you got godly wisdom. And you can understand that this world, number one, is not our home. You can understand that we're only here temporarily for a season. You can understand that real life, true life, it only starts when we leave here. Oh, I'm sorry, it starts on this side, but it only gets better when we leave here and make our way to the other side in Christ Jesus. And listen, though none of us in reality really want to die, I'm not saying, Lord, kill me right now, but I got to be honest, man, when I see the wickedness of this world and see the way it's going, if I lay down and go to sleep, and there are sometimes I say, Lord, if you decide that it's time for me to go, I'm okay with it. And guess what? even if I wasn't okay with it, if it was my time, I'm going anyhow. But in my heart of hearts, I know what I'm going to is better than what I have on this earth. Amen. Guys, if you would, put your marker there. Just mark that page and go with me to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 9. And Paul was saying here how he's the least of all the apostles. And in his mind, he can't understand why God saved him anyhow. So I thought it'd be a good idea just to look at Paul. We've seen this before, but we'll read through it. Acts chapter 9, beginning at verse 1. And Paul, though he was a Pharisee, he was simply an unsaved sinner, just like we were. And though he was persecuting the church, guys, we were persecuting folk as well. In ignorance, yes, but we still were. Acts chapter 9, if you're with me, please say amen. And it says, and Saul, and we see at this point his name had not been changed. It says, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. So he's fighting against Christians. It says, went into the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And listen, they used to, back then, they would call Christianity the way. And if he found any in that way, all he had to do was hear them talking about Christ. And he could lock them up. He could put them in irons. And he could have them locked up. And he wanted to make it legal. He wanted the government to sanction that. And by the way, as they were sanctioning it then, they're trying to get back to that even right now to a country near you. In verse 3 it says, and as he journeyed, he came near, the verse says, Damascus. And suddenly, in other words, without warning, it said, there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I love, we know, first of all, this is the Lord speaking. He is meeting him up front and personal. And look, though he has not actually persecuted Christ per se, that, guys, when you touch his children, his people, you touch him. And he don't play that. Verse 5 says, and he said, who art thou, Lord? And look, that would be a proper response. Because he got somebody who's bigger and badder than him. In fact, knocked him to his knees. And he realizes that this is somebody I need to pay mine to. And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And in verse 5, he said, the pricks. What is he talking about there? Anybody? What is he talking about? Anybody? It is, but here he's talking about the pricks, and in reality he's talking about the pricks of his heart. And when the Lord is pricking your heart and trying to get you to go forward or stop doing this or stop going that way, he's saying that it's extremely hard. As a Christian, as a believer, when you go to sin, the Holy Spirit pricks your heart and says, you don't want to go there. And look, we can override that.
You have been listening to Pastor Ralph Williams from New Beginnings in Christ Ministries. If you'd like to contact Pastor Ralph, you can write to him at Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida 32910. Once again, that's Pastor Ralph Williams, Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida 32910. You also can email them at newbeginningslamp@gmail.com. Be with us again next Friday morning at 10 o'clock for another program from the New Beginnings in Christ Ministries.